to go downstairs and check in the dryer. I thought that was kind of an unusual place, so I went downstairs and checked in the dryer, and there was a little package there. It says, if you want your Christmas gift, you need to go up to your room and check in your closet. So I went upstairs and checked in the closet, and there was another package that says, if you want your gift, then check somewhere else. We had 12 steps going upstairs to the bedrooms of the house. We had 12 steps going downstairs to the basement. And I think I must have run up and down those steps about 5 times each before I finally got the gift. And I did a lot of traveling in the house that Christmas. And that's another aspect of the Christmas gift that we want to look at this morning is traveling. Maybe you have used imaginations and have given or have received some very unusual gifts over the years. But Christmas is a time of giving and receiving, and there's a lot of joy in that. And we can have a lot of joy just seeing those that we love open up the gifts that we give and seeing the delights on their faces when they receive the gift. And, you know, we read in Scripture that when sinful mankind, when a sinner acknowledges that he is a sinner or she is a sinner and receives the gift that God has given, that there's great joy as well in the presence of heaven. And I think that as you give gifts at Christmas time and you see those receive those gifts with joy, then in a very, very small measure, it's a reflection of the joy that's in heaven when the gift that was given that first Christmas is received by man who desperately needs it. But in looking at the whole idea of giving and receiving at Christmas, we want to look at that as being one of the true meanings of Christmas, and that of giving. It's a time when God gave a precious gift to mankind, and it's a time when Christ gave to mankind, and a time when we can give back to God. First, let's look at giving at Christmas time and the idea of what God has given. God gave a lot that first Christmas. He gave His Son. We read over in Galatians, some of these verses will be very familiar this morning. Some of them we've already heard in the earlier meeting, but they do bear repeating. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. That first Christmas, God gave His Son. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 reads this way, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons." God sent His Son, His one and only Son, His well-beloved Son, as the way another scripture reads, as that first gift of Christmas. Christmas is a time of giving, and we see in Christmas time that God did give. He gave the most precious thing that He had. It was His Son. And it was at just the right time, when the fullness of time had come, at just the right time, God sent forth His Son. It was a timely gift. Sometimes we give gifts because they are needed, and they are very timely gifts. I remember getting gifts when I was at college that were needed, very much needed for some of the classes that I was taking at the time. And those were very timely gifts. But the most timely gift that was ever given was given by God that first Christmas. And it was given at just the right time. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under law. And He sent Him and gave Him as a gift for a purpose, for redemption. And we can have redemption because of that first gift that God gave. Some very well-known verses also that describe the gift that God gave is in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Many of us have learned these verses by heart over the years, at least John 3:16. But this also talks about giving. John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." God gave His most precious Son as a gift, that we might have eternal life. He perished in our place, so that we can have a gift of eternal life if we put our faith and trust in Him. He didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That first Christmas gift given by God the Father was a gift that for us can bring eternal life. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't received that gift. You know, that's one thing about gift giving. It's not yours until you take it personally. It's not a gift for you unless you receive it. I know many of us in this room this morning have received that gift that God gave, the gift of His Son, who came to die on Calvary's cross that He might give us eternal life. We have put our faith and trust in Him. And if you're here this morning and you haven't received that most precious gift, the most important Christmas gift, then today is a day that you need to open your heart and receive it. Because it cost God a lot. He gave His Son that we might have eternal life. Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrated His love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The gift that God gave was a gift of love. Remember the verse we read, "For God so loved the world that He gave"? He gave His Son even while we were yet sinners, that if we put our faith and trust in Him, we might have eternal life. That's a gift that goes far beyond any level of comprehension that we can have. But it's a gift that we can receive, a gift that we can rejoice in at Christmas time. God gave His Son at just the right time, and it was a gift of love. But God was not the only one that gave during that first Christmas time. God the Father gave, but God the Son gave as well. And that's what we want to think about next. God the Son. He gave His life. He gave His life. He gave up His riches and glory. Over in Philippians chapter 2, we read about what the Lord Jesus gave. Philippians chapter 2. Starting at verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Therefore God has also highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus gave up His glory, His riches. It says that Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal to God, but made Himself of no reputation. Basically, He emptied Himself. He divested Himself of His visible glory. And He veiled that glory in flesh. Isn't that what John's Gospel tells us? John's Gospel tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that the Word is Christ Jesus. And He created everything that there is, that exists, was created because Christ created it. But it also says in John's Gospel in chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He veiled His glory in human flesh and dwelt among us. He gave up the glories of heaven to be born here on earth. He gave up His riches. That was read earlier. Verse was read earlier this morning, 2 Corinthians 8:9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich." He gave up His riches. He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. He gave up His glory and His riches that first Christmas. And He gave up His life as well, so that we might live. You read a lot about the life of Christ and what He did. It's kind of a paradox. He who owned the cattle on 1,000 hills, who owned everything because He created it, gave up all of His riches and became poor so that we might become rich, we who are poor and needy. Then he gave up his life so that in the giving of his life, we who were dead in God's sight might have life. It's kind of a paradox, but it's a gift nonetheless. John's Gospel chapter 10. John's Gospel chapter 10 tells us about Christ giving up his life. John's Gospel chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. We read these verses. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. He said earlier in this chapter in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So Christ not only gave up his glory and his riches that first Christmas, but he came that he might give up his life. The passage we read in Philippians says that he became obedient even to death on the cross. He gave up his life, and he didn't do it aimlessly or purposelessly. He did it with a purpose, that we might have life. He gave his life that we might have life. John 15:13 tells us the same thing. We've been studying in John's Gospel on Wednesday nights, and we read over and over again about Christ and his great love and the fact that he's laying down his life. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And that's exactly what he did. It's interesting to go through the New Testament, and I mentioned it before, but it's interesting to go through the New Testament and from God's point of view to read what the definition of love is. And it's God giving his son to die and Christ giving his life. We read, let me just read to you, we won't turn to it, but we read John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16 tells it from Christ's love. By this we know love, because he, that is Jesus, laid down his life for us. That's what he gave. It was a gift of love. Just as the Father gave a gift of love, his only Son, because he loved the world so much that we might have eternal life through our faith and trust in him, but Christ gave his life as a gift of love that we might have eternal life. He laid down his life that we might have eternal life. That was a gift of Christmas from God the Son. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. He bore our sins on his own body on the tree. He was born in Bethlehem's manger so that he might die. He might die for us who deserve to die, but that we might have eternal life through what Christ gave. Then as you think through the Christmas story, there are others that gave. You think of Luke's Gospel chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And you read about the angels during that first Christmas. The angels also gave that first Christmas. The angels gave something to men, and they gave something to God as well. Luke chapter 2. Well, let's just read the whole account there about the shepherds as well. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Did you catch what was given there in these verses by the angels? They gave something to men. They gave the good news of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They gave the good news of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And they even told them how they would recognize him when they found him, that he would be lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. He gave the good news of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, shouldn't that be something that we give as well during this time of Christmas? You know, many times people are more open to hearing about God and hearing about Christ during Christmas than any other time during the year. And if we can't afford to give very much during Christmas, we can't afford to give the good news as the angels gave, that the reason we're celebrating Christmas is because of Christ, that born that first Christmas in Bethlehem's manger, a Savior who is Christ the Lord, one who has come to save us from sin, one who has come to provide eternal life for us by being born to die on Calvary's cross. That was good news, and we need to be about giving the good news, especially throughout the year, but especially around Christmas time when so many people's hearts are receptive. The angels gave good news to the men that they appeared to, but they also gave something to God. They gave something to God. They gave praise to God. Verse 13 says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." They gave praise to God. Their hearts overflowed with praise and adoration because of the gift that was given, the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That was the best news that they could give. And because of that good news that they gave to men, and because of what God had given, they rejoiced greatly and praise the Lord for that most precious gift of Christmas. Well, while we're here in this passage, we can also see something that the shepherds gave. The shepherds were those who gave during the first Christmas as well. We've already read that the shepherds were out in the fields and the angels appeared to them, and then we read on in Luke chapter 2. We left off with verse 14. Let's pick up with verse 15 and read down to verse 18. "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord had made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this Christ. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Down verse 20, let's stop at verse 20. "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." The angels gave good news and gave God glory and praise. And it seems that the shepherds mimicked what the angels gave. The shepherds gave witness to the birth of the Christ child. They'd received the good news that a Savior had been born, and they wanted to go see this for themselves. And they did. And when they had seen this and rejoiced in the fact that Christ had been born, and they had found the Savior, the one who had been promised for so many years, they didn't keep it to themselves. Many times when we get when we find out about a good thing, or we want to keep it to ourselves. We want to be selfish. And it seems like this day and time, it's easy to look around and see, even in our own lives and those that are around us, and many things that we tend to be selfish with. But this is one thing that we cannot be selfish with. We cannot keep the good news of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the reason why he was born to ourselves. It's something that must be shared, and we who know about this must be busy about sharing it. It says, "They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known." This was the first Christmas broadcast. I'm in radio, and broadcasting is what I do. But this was the first Christmas broadcast, and it was done by the shepherds. They made widely known what they had heard and what they had seen, the saying that was told them concerning this child. They told everyone that they came in contact with that they had seen the child, they had seen the promised one, the Messiah, the Savior who had been born. And it caused quite a stir. All those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. How many people are marveling in our little areas where we live because of this wonderful news that we're sharing? And it is wonderful news. The best news that anybody could share. That unto us is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He's come to save us from our sins and prepare for us an eternal dwelling place with Him in heaven. They not only gave witness to the birth of the Christ child, but they also gave glory to God. They also gave glory to God. Verse 20 says, "Then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." Once they had realized the truthfulness of the message that was given, and they had gone and seen the Christ child, and they had made known the good news that the Savior had been born, they rejoiced greatly and praised God for the gift that was given. Can we do less? Is our hearts full of praise and adoration and worship during this Christmas time because of the gift that was given? It should be. And it should radiate out in our lives. Then over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, and we read of some other individuals who gave. "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all his chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written by the prophets, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. Behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." So here we hear about another gift of Christmas. It didn't happen the night that Christ was born, but it began the night that Christ was born, the time when Christ was born. There was a star that had arisen to announce the birth of the King of Kings. And to the east of Bethlehem, where this took place, there were wise men, or magi, who had seen his star and knew the significance of it. And when they had seen his star, they began a journey. And they traveled over the miles. We don't know exactly where they came from. But they traveled over the miles until finally they had come to the land of Judah. And they started asking where the one who had been born king of the Jews, where he was. They began searching in Jerusalem. And they were guided by those who were in Jerusalem to look in Bethlehem. And then they were guided by the star to Bethlehem. The wise men gave that first Christmas. They gave worship. They gave worship. They also gave time. The time that it took to travel from where they lived to come and diligently search for the one who had been born. But they gave worship that first Christmas. It says when they had come into the house, they were no longer in the manger. They were in a house in Bethlehem. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. They knew who he was. They worshipped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They gave worship, their heart's adoration. They fell down and worshipped him. Some believe that it took anywhere from several months, almost to 2 years, before they finally found the young child. And after they spent that time searching, they worshiped the one who they had come to see. They not only gave gifts or treasures. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They gave gifts to the one whom they had come to worship, to seek out. And we need to be giving gifts to the one who we worship, the one who we follow this Christmas time as well. And that brings it to us. We saw in Christmas time that God the Father gave his Son, the most precious gift that anyone could give, that God the Son gave his life, that the angels gave witness and worship as well as the shepherds. The wise men gave worship and time and gifts and treasure. And we could go on and talk about the other people of Christmas, but we need to bring it down to ourselves. What can we give God this Christmas? You know, it is a celebration of the birth of Jesus, the King of Kings. And usually on birthdays you give someone a gift. And we need to think about what we can give Christ this Christmas as a gift. For those who are here that do not know Christ as Savior, you need to give your heart to God who gave all for you. You need to receive that first Christmas gift of God the Son. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You need to realize that you are a sinner in need of salvation. And you need to come to the Lord and acknowledge this and accept by faith that gift that was given, Jesus Christ, who came to die on Calvary's cross in your place, that you might have eternal life. The verse says that those who believe on him have eternal life. And what better gift could you want for this Christmas or any Christmas than to have the gift of eternal life? It's by putting your faith and trust in Christ and what he's done. Jesus came to earth to die for you, to die for me. And he offers the best gift ever, that's eternal life, for those who will, by faith, accept it and accept him. That's for those who are here, perhaps, that do not know Christ as Savior. You need to receive that gift today. But how about us that do know the Lord? There's something that we can give as well this Christmas. We can give our lives anew to the Lord in service. We're instructed in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that we are urged by Paul, who wrote this to the Romans, but also writes it to us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2 tells us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We who know Christ as Savior and Lord in our lives need to anew give ourselves to him, to be determined to live a life that's honoring unto him, that will not yield the members of our body to works of unrighteousness, but to yield it to works of righteousness. We need to offer ourselves anew to the Lord as a gift, as a present. Because after all, he's given his all for us, and we should do no less for him. And we need to offer the worship and the praise of our hearts. The angels, when they made that announcement of the birth of the Savior, which is Christ the Lord, gave glory to God in the highest. The shepherds, when they had widely spread the news of the birth of the King of Kings, they went back to where they had come from, greatly rejoicing in all that they had seen and heard about this child. And can we not offer the worship and adoration and praise of our hearts this Christmas as a gift to the Lord who gave His all for us? Hebrews 13:15 tells us, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name." Do we have a thankful heart and a heart filled with worship and praise and adoration to the one who gave His life for us this Christmas? We should. And if we spend time thinking about the Christmas story, I think that that will be the result, that our hearts will well up with praise and adoration to the one who gave Himself for us all. Psalm 95 is one of my favorite psalms, but it almost speaks to us as we think about Christ coming to be born in Bethlehem's manger and the reason why He was born. We almost need to echo the words of the psalmist in Psalm 95. "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand." Can our hearts not echo that this Christmas time as we think about the one that was given in Bethlehem's manger, that He might die on Calvary's cross for us? Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. And the one that was born in Bethlehem was Emmanuel, God with us. The greatest gift that's ever been given. And for those of us who have received that precious gift, we need to give back the worship and adoration of our hearts. Christina Rossetti, back in the 1800s, wrote this as part of a song or a poem that she had written entitled Midwinter. "What can I give Him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give Him? Jesus, take my heart." That should be echo us at Christmas as well. If you do not know Christ, you should offer your heart and life to Him and ask Him to save you and receive that gift of Christmas. And for those of us that do know Christ as Savior, we need to offer our hearts in praise and worship and adoration and our lives in service to the one who gave His all for us. So those are just some thoughts this morning about Christmas in light of giving. And as we give gifts this year and as we anticipate the gift-giving time, let's stop and reflect on the greatest gift that was given to us that first Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's rejoice anew and the gift that was given to us. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time when we do set aside for remembering the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to reflect anew on the gift that was given, the gift of love that You gave, that You loved us, loved the world so much that You gave Your Son, Your one and only Son, that if we put our faith and trust in Him, we should not perish but have eternal life. We pray, Lord, that if there is any here that need to accept that precious gift of eternal life, that today would be a day of receiving the most precious gift that anyone could ever give. Lord, for those of us who have received this gift, may we meditate upon the gift that was given, and may we offer back to You as feeble as it may be, the praise and worship and adoration of our hearts and offer to you anew our lives in service for the one who has given his all for us. Thank you, Lord, for that indescribable and incredible gift at First Christmas. May our hearts and lives never get over that gift that was given. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.